Okay, today is the Nidcha. The Shabbos of Thomas, that's a Nidcha, that is postponed fast. So I think perhaps it's worthwhile speaking a little bit about the significance of the 3 weeks. Now, my uncle points out that really the idea, I think, was mentioned by my grandfather in discussing from a halachic perspective the halachic status of the 3 weeks, of the 9 days. So we have some customs that begin with Shavuos Batamos. Customs of Avelus, customs of mourning. And then we have customs that begin with Rosh Chodesh Av, which is the beginning of the 9 day period. And of course, the last day is Tisha B'Av. And these three periods of mourning seem to correspond in a similar but not necessary in an exact fashion with the three periods of mourning that a mourner has or is required to observe when a relative passes away. When a relative passes away, you have Shiva, and then you have Shloshim, and then the one who passed away was a parent, so then you observe Avelus for Yud Beis Chodesh for 12 months. And it seems that the Avelus of the 3 weeks, to a large degree, corresponds with the Avelus, with the mourning practices that we observe during the 12 months after a parent passes away. The mourning practices of the 9 days, they seem to correspond with the mourning practices of Shloshim, of the 30-day period that we observe after a relative passes away. And Shiva, the Tisha B'Av, seems to correspond with Shiva. But my uncle points out there is one very, very big difference. There are a number of differences, but one difference is glaring. And that is, we, after a relative passes away, we observe Shiva first. And then we observe the Shloshim period, the 30-day period. And then we observe the Yud Beis Chodesh. Couldn't be any other way, obviously. However, when it comes to the mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, for the temple, for the destruction of Yerushalayim, there it's in the reverse order. The mourning of the 3 weeks comes first. And then the mourning of the that corresponds with the Shloshim, the mourning of the 9 days, comes second. And then Tisha B'Av, which corresponds with the Shiva, that comes last. Now, we understand, in regard to somebody who dies, why it has to be in that order. But the question is, if we are equating the mourning of over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the mourning over the destruction of the temple, the mourning over the Yerushalayim. If we are equating that with the situation of a relative who passes away, why is it that the other two mourning periods are before Tisha B'Av? If it would be a real correspondence, they should have been after Tisha B'Av. Now, my uncle points out, it's a simple fact, that Shavuos Betamos is not only a fast day in itself, but it initiates a period of 3 weeks, sort of like an introduction to Tisha B'Av. And the 3 weeks have special halachic status, not only because of the customs that we observe during the 3 weeks, but even when we see the Haftoris, the general rule is that the Haftoris that are read have to do with the Seder of the week. But if there's a special in Yana de Yoma, if there's something special about the day, so we can have a Haftorah that deals with the significance of those days. Obviously, these 3 weeks have special significance from the perspective of the Chorban. It's not just that there is a Shavuos Betamos and 3 weeks later there's a fast day Tisha B'Av. No, there is a certain connection. All the days in between are an introduction to Tisha B'Av. And in a sense, that gives special status to these 3 weeks. And that's why in the Shabbosos of these 3 weeks, there are special Haftoros. Now, and there are certain, for this idea, there are certain drashos of Chazal that seem to serve as a foundation, for this. One is in the Haftorah of this week, Haftorah of Pinchas. So, Yirmiyahu, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu. So in the Haftorah, Yirmiyahu says, by Yidvar Hashem Elai Lamor, the word of God came to me saying, Ma Taroa, what do you see? Va'omar Makel Shokei Dani Roa. So I said, I see an almond wood staff, do I see? What's the significance of an almond wood staff? But almonds tend to grow very quickly from their trees. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayomer Hashem Elai Heitaf Deliros. And God said, you have seen well. He showcased a knee out vari la soso. For I shall hasten regarding my word to fulfill it. In other words, the 3 weeks, the almond staff represents that the events of the Churban, the events of the destruction of Yerushalayim, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they are going to take place very, very quickly. And also we find that the same, so these 3 weeks are the weeks, the 3 weeks that the it takes 3 weeks for almonds to grow on the branch of an almond tree. So these 3 weeks correspond with that nevuah, with that prophecy. And another thing that's mentioned, Kol Rofehi Siguha Ben Hamtzarim in Eicha. So the Ben Hamtzarim means within the days of distress. Referring to between Shavasa and Tamas, this is the way our sages use it, between Shavasa and Tamas and Tisha B'Av. But it's not only between days of distress, but all the days in between are days of distress also. So these 3 days, these 3 weeks, have special halachic status, and my uncle mentions it, that because these are days of distress, days leading up to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, days leading up to the morning of Tisha B'Av. Now, it's very interesting. I found it very, it was intriguing, because this idea, the analogy to an almond branch or a staff made out of that produced, that came from an almond tree, is very similar in Parshas Korach to the staffs that were presented by the Nesi'im to prove that Aaron, Shevet Levi, and the descendants of Aaron were chosen to do the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Each Nasi, the prince of each tribe, presented his staff, brought his staff to the Beis HaMikdash. And all the staffs were laid in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the morning, the staff of Aaron budded. It had flowers. And it produced fruit. And the fruits were almonds. And this was the symbol that Aaron was the chosen one to be, and his descendants, to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And that Shevet Levi was chosen. And the question is, why almonds? Rashi cites the words of Chazal, that the reason almonds was chosen is because if someone challenges the status of the Kohanim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with him very quickly. Just as almonds grow very quickly, so too the retribution or the punishment of somebody who challenges the status of Shevet Levi or of the Kohanim will come very quickly as well. But I think we could suggest an additional reason. It's telling us something about the status of Aaron. And the status of the Kohanim, a trait, the personality trait of the Kohanim. Our sages tell us, Kohanim's resume. The Kohanim act very quickly. But there's a difference. Someone who acts quickly is able to seize the moment. Someone who acts quickly is a master of time. But not really in all situations. You have people that act quickly because they're impulsive. If somebody acts quickly because of impulsiveness, and without thinking over very quickly, then that person is not a master of time. On the contrary, he's a slave of the moment. He's a slave of time. But one who can thoroughly know how to use the moment, he's a master of time. He's the one that seizes time. And Parshas Pinchas, it talks the praise of Pinchas, that Pinchas acted with kanos. He acted right away. Sometimes when we postpone, it comes eternally postponed. But if we seize the moment, then we can rid ourselves of the problem. There are those who say that if Israel, after the Six-Day War, had seized the moment in establishing Jewish communities, then many of the problems that we have today would not be there. We know for ourselves. We take a look. If you very often, when you postpone, when you don't give the help when it's initially needed, then there is a long battle that takes place. If you give only piecemeal, so there's no deterrent, but if you postpone and you wait, the problem multiplies and becomes worse. It's very difficult to change an existing situation once you let that existing situation continue. But if you nip that situation in the bud, then it's much easier to deal with it. And in a sense, I once was told by the Talmidim of a certain Gadol B'Torah that person said that he felt that the Hashgacha manipulated, that the those in charge of the government in the state of Israel should not be observant, should not be halachically oriented. He said, if we would leave decisions of war and peace up to Gdolei Yisrael, and he used the example of Reb Chaim, he said, if an enemy would attack, Reb Chaim would have difficulty. Should we send troops? How should we send troops? How many troops we should send in? And by the time Reb Chaim would have reached his decision, everybody knows how concerned Reb Chaim was about Sakanas Nefashos. So if by the time Reb Chaim would have reached a conclusion, the enemy would have run over all of Israel. And I mentioned it to my father at that time. And my father's response to me about it was, he said, Reb Chaim, if the halacha demanded an answer on the moment, if the halacha demanded on the second, Reb Chaim would have given an answer on the moment. And it wouldn't be because Reb Chaim is impulsive. Chas v'shalom. And it's very interesting. When I mentioned this before, when by Aaron HaKohen, when he gave his staff that budded, so Rabin Bechaya points out that the different stages of growth were always there. Usually when the fruits come out, so the flowers fall off, the budding falls off. But there were all three stages. What was the idea I mentioned? That somebody who is a slave of time, each period of one's life is identified with certain traits, with certain attitudes. But somebody who's not a slave of time, one who is a master of time, they're able to take the moments, the periods of time of one stage of their life into the next stage of their life. And sometimes, as Reb Haigon points out, that sometimes somebody who is younger, but who is on a very high level, so even in his youth, he could have, in addition to the youthful positive traits that he might have, that is normal for a person to have, let it be innocence, let it be zrizus, let it be strength. It can be it can come together with maturity and experience that is usually associated with the later years of life. And I think that's what my father meant. In other words, it's usually the younger people that act right away. But the problem is when they act right away, very often it's an act of being, they're acting on impulse. So we have to, and when we become a master of time, we have to make sure we're a master of time, not a slave of time, that we seize the moment rather than the moment seized us. And I think this is all part. This is all part of the. Now it's very interesting. The opinion of Avudram. Avudram is a very strange shita. But we know this today. Shavasim Thomas that said that was postponed because Shavasim Thomas fell out. Really fell yesterday on Shabbos. Shabbos, we don't fast. This year, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. And it will be postponed. Because Shabbos, we don't fast. The opinion of Avudram, now it's not possible with our calendar, but when the Mekadesh Al Pi HaLevana, when the month was sanctified, on the basis of the sighting of the moon. So then they knew that it was possible for Asar B'Teves to fall out on Shabbos. And the opinion of the Avudram is that when Asar B'Teves falls out on Shabbos, you will actually fast on Shabbos. And all kinds of reasons are offered. The reason brought down is because in Yecheskel, the expression Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and the essence of this day is mentioned, and Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is mentioned in the Torah in regard to Yom HaKippurim. And so because of that, just like his Yom Kippur, we fast even when it falls out in Shabbos. So Asar B'Teves, we should fast even when it falls out in Shabbos. But the question is, why should Asar B'Teves be more stringent than even Tisha B'Av on this point? Obviously, if the Navi and the Avudram felt that the Navi said that that's the requirement, that if Asar B'Teves should fall out in Shabbos, we fast on Shabbos. Most Rishonim appear that they disagree. But that if Asar B'Teves falls out in Shabbos, we fast on Shabbos. We don't postpone it. The question is, what's the lesson to be learned from that? Now, historically, Asar B'Teves, that's when the enemy, the Babylonians, surrounded Jerusalem. In a sense, this was the beginning of the final conflict. And then we have Shavasa Batamas, when they broke through the walls of Jerusalem, and then is Tisha B'Av, and then is Tzon Gedalia. Gedalia was the governor who was recognized by Babylonia, and he was murdered, he was assassinated. And because of his assassination, the remaining Jews that lived in Eretz Yisrael were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. So, but the first day that is identified with the beginning of the problem is Asar B'Teves. What's the idea behind it? Now, the fast days, especially in time of trouble, they have a double component. On one hand, certainly Tisha B'Av has this double component. On one hand, Tisha B'Av is a time of crying out to God. And of course, it's a time of avelus, it's a time of mourning. And so I think the reason, according to the Avudram, the Navi said that Asar B'Teves can't be postponed, was to let us know that when we are in trouble, you don't postpone. Mourning can be postponed, but crying out to God cannot be postponed. In general, our trying to fix a situation should not be postponed. We do not know what tomorrow brings or what today brings. If we postpone, we don't know we will have that chance. I think that's the lesson, because Asar B'Teves, more than any other of the fast days, represents the very beginning. So because of that, what's the idea? The idea is there are situations that demand that we seize the moment, because time moves very fast. And before we know it, the situation will be altogether different. And we won't be able to accomplish tomorrow what we can accomplish today. There are moments that offer us opportunities. And if we let those moments pass by, we don't know that we will have those opportunities again. Mitzvah haba biyadcha tachmitzena. Zrizim makdimin lemitzvahs. On one hand, zrizim makdimin, because it shows your enthusiasm for mitzvahs. But there's another reason. You don't know. You might not have the opportunity to do those mitzvahs later. And it's very interesting. The Gemara in Megillah mentions, In the Havamin of the Gemara says that wasn't the case. But the Gemara says that at first they thought that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. V'lo hodu lo chachamim. The chachamim did not go along with it. Then the Gemara says that that wasn't the case. But Tosfos says, how could the Gemara have even imagined that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos in one answer says, because the Gemara mentions that Rabbi Yochanan said that had he been there at the time of the Churban, he would have suggested that the fasting of Tisha B'Av not be on the 9th of Av, but be on the 10th of Av. Why? Because the fire that consumed the Beis HaMikdash, that destroyed the temple, was lit shortly before sunset. But most of the temple was burnt on the 10th of Av. So Rebbe, when the Gemara thought that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, it's not that he wanted to get rid of the day of mourning for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but he wanted to change the day from the 9th to the 10th. And one is amazed. Rebbe is about 100 years, maybe a little less, after the Churban, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And according to the Rambam, they fasted even during the second Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. Okay, most Rishonim disagree. But all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan said, had he been there, he would have suggested it. But Rebbe wasn't there either. Rebbe came many years later. Why would we have thought that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would have wanted to change the date of Tisha B'Av to the 10th of Av? From the 9th of Av to the 10th of Av. But I think it's the same idea. The idea is Tisha B'Av has a double element. On one hand, Tisha B'Av is a day of crying out. We're crying out to God for help. We want Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha B'Neshuva Chadei Shemeinu Tikerem. We're crying out to God for all the tzoras that are taking place in Golos and exile. And we know, even if these tzoras are not actually taking place today, in future years they might be taking place. Because so long as we are in exile, we're at risk. And it's not the risk that just happens once in a long period of time. It's happened throughout the duration of our exile. But Tisha B'Av also is a time of mourning. It's avelus. Now, until the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the relationship between Rome and the Jewish people was a very bad relationship. The Jewish people were subject. To all kinds of problems at the hands of the Romans. Many of them were murdered. Many were sold into slavery. Many were tortured. But in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the situation had changed somewhat. Antoninus, who was Caesar, the Roman king, So he had a very good relationship with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Now, the question is, so Tisha B'Av has this double element. On one hand, it's Tzaka, it's crying out to God for help. On the other hand, it's mourning. Now, when does one cry out for help? One cries out for help. When should one cry out for help? And this is a mistake we always make. This mistake is made today. This mistake was made during the Holocaust. The mistake was made throughout Jewish history. We assume that the way the situation is, why is it that people did not leave Europe? I'm not finding fault. I probably would have made the same mistake. Because we suffered throughout our exile in Europe, but we survived. We assume that we'll survive again. And as a result of that attitude, we don't seize the moment. We don't become a master of time. When we are slaves of time, as Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said, "Avdei hazman hem avodim la'avodim," to be taken not just in the literal sense, but for Jewish history, when we were the slaves of time, that caused us to be slaves to others. So we have to be able to seize the moment, not just wait to postpone to see what tomorrow will bring. We don't know that tomorrow will give us an opportunity. So when it comes to crying out for help, the earlier you do it, the better. Avelus mourning, on the contrary, there are people today, especially in the medical community, that as soon as they go into the hospital, the doctor suggests it's all over already, no purpose. But when it comes to avelus, avelus is something that we do at the end. I know of cases where people, they thought the end was coming. Relatives, they ordered shiva trays. Needless to mention, the people who ordered the shiva trays died before the people who they thought the shiva would be for. Avelus is something that should and can be pushed off. But crying out to God, that's not something that should be postponed. Tzaka represents a seizing of the moment. Now, the idea here, why is it that there is avelus before? The avelus of Tisha B'Av. There's a fulfillment, not talking about the requirement, that's also a couple days beforehand, but there's a certain fulfillment of the mitzvah of avelus, of mourning on Tisha B'Av. Before Tisha B'Av, in the week before. So to answer the question of Rebbe, that's why Rebbe felt that at that moment he could Rebbe felt that because he had such a good relationship with Rome, they no longer had to emphasize the tzaaka, the crying out to God. The main focus of Tisha B'Av should be the past, should be the Churban. So because of that, Rebbe wanted to change it from the 9th to the 10th, because the 10th represents the Avelus aspect more so, whereas the 9th, when the fire first started, that represents the Tza'aka aspect, the crying out to God. So because of that, Rebbe, according to the Havamin of the Gemara, wanted to change Tisha B'Av from the 9th to the 10th. But even according to the Havamin of the Gemara, v'lo hodu lo chachamim, the Chachamim didn't agree with him. Why didn't the Chachamim agree with him? Because so long as we are in Golus, so long as we are in exile, we're in trouble. And we don't even know. So it's as if we, even if we don't recognize the trouble is, the trouble could be there tomorrow. The trouble could already be there, and we're not even aware of it. So Rebbe said, so the Rabbanan lo hodulo, they didn't agree with him because we are in trouble. But Rebbe felt that the trouble was minimized, and he felt the main focus of Tisha B'Av should be the past. So consequently, he wanted to do it on the 10th, because the 10th represents the idea of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, whereas the 9th represents the beginning of the fire so until that time they were in trouble. They wanted to emphasize the tzaaka aspect, but later on, when they focused on the past, when Rebbe felt they should focus on the past, he said it should be the 10th. Now, and what we don't understand is sometimes we have to recognize the trouble that can come right at the very beginning. Because if we postpone, we postpone from one day to another day. My grandfather, my mother's father, Moshe Soloveitchik. So he was the Ramosha Shurin. So Ramosha Shurin. So he was rabbi. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in a town in Lithuania called Ritava. And but then the situation was such that it was just impossible to make a living there. So he went to America for a number of years, and he would send money to the family in Ritava. They didn't take the children, because at that time America was not considered a place that you could bring up children in a Torah way of life. And then he came back to Ritava, and he spoke in the shul. I heard this from my uncle, Rabbi Yisrael Shurin. He spoke in the shul and he said, when I left here, the Jews in the town, they had no trouble walking in the streets. They would walk out at night. I was gone for 5 years, or whatever amount of years it was. You know, when you're here, the change between one day and another day usually is minimal. But the changes add up. And over a period of time, the change becomes very great. But since from day to day, it's small changes, yes, you begin to believe, well, it's not much more different than yesterday. And yesterday was not much more different than the day before. He said, but I was gone for many years. So I see the difference. He said, you have to leave. And my uncle told me, and he told me, he heard him, some of the people were smiling. They thought it was ridiculous. We have to understand, we can't dismiss even the smallest thing. I'm not saying different changes, different situations require different responses. But you can't postpone. Because when you postpone, you do not see the seriousness of the developing situation. Now, Reb Chaim Volozhin, you have to be able to seize the moment. You have to be a master of time. The Kohanim was reason. They were able to seize the moment. But it's important when we seize the moment at the same time not to be impulsive. We have to couple the speed that we act with that is usually identified with youthfulness, with the maturity that is identified with experience of years. And I think the Nefesh HaChaim says a very interesting thought. Nefesh HaChaim says, he says that before the Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed, before the Beis HaMikdash Lamata, the Beis HaMikdash on earth, the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech and by Ezra, and by the Chachamim in the time of Hordis, when they re-strengthened the Beis HaMikdash. Before those Beis HaMikdash could be destroyed, Lamata, the Beis HaMikdash Lamala, the Beis HaMikdash in heaven has to be destroyed. He says, Titus and Nebuchadnezzar, they could only destroy the Beis HaMikdash Lamata. But only the Jews were able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. The problem is, we wait till the last moment. We don't understand that the Beis HaMikdash Lamala, which enabled the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash Lamata, The Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in heaven enabled the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash on earth. But the Beis HaMikdash in heaven was destroyed by us, by our deeds. But we only start trembling when the Romans and the Babylonians are standing there with the fire in the hand. We have to come to recognize the dangers earlier. We have to be able to seize the moment. And the same thing is true about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The building of the Beis HaMikdash Lamata can only be done after we build the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. We have to seize the moment. We can't wait. We can't postpone. And I think that's why the minhagim of Avelus that were instituted before the date of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, to emphasize for the tzaka and the Avelus of the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. We have to understand that as the Chazal tell us, the Romans destroyed something that was already destroyed. It's up to us we have to seize the moment when we have the chance then to prevent the destruction lamata by giving strength to the Beis Hamikdash lamala, and we can hasten. We say b'mehera b'yameinu. We want it done very quickly. We want Zrizus, reason makdim and lemitzvos. But it's not just we build the Beis Hamikdash, not just with bricks, but we build the Beis Hamikdash with our deeds. And for that, we have to seize the moment now and to realize the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash took place before the fire took place. And the building of the Beis Hamikdash is taking place, hopefully it's taking place before the Beis Hamikdash Shlamata, the Beis Hamikdash down on earth, will be rebuilt. Okay.
So please put questions in the chat. We have a couple questions already. Given that Tisha B'Av is a Nidcha this year, can we learn on Tisha B'Av?
No. Okay. my uncle Shita is, just mentioned, that if you learn about Tisha B'Av, that's allowed.
Okay. Since the Gemara in Tainus only talks about the Suda Mafsekes, where did the rules for the 3 weeks and the 9 days come from?
These were Minhagim that were added later.
Was it because of later calamities that happened?
I don't know. There was so much because of later calamities. I think it was in order to focus on the Beis Hamikdash. It could be because of that also. Some say the, let's say the meat and wine, because these were things that went on the that were on the Mizbeach or these type of things. Also, you know, when you're paving the way for so to say, you're in the doorway of Tisha B'Av, you know, you have to put yourself in that for the same reason. Sometimes it becomes necessary as the Golus becomes longer. So we have to focus on the what the loss is. You know, first of all, the passage of time. It could be a person could suggest that, you know, the Jews that right after the Churban, that you didn't have to add things, even though some of them accepted many of these things and even more on themselves. But they knew what they lost. We who are almost 2,000 years later, we have to focus on our loss more so because we don't really know. We didn't experience the loss.
Any last questions? I'm not seeing anything in the chat.